Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
For new subscribers, we will offer our VR Trader newsletter and all the products that you see on the screen for 50% off if you use the promo code 2022 half off. So VRTrader.com is Victor Robert, VRTrader.com, and in the promo code slot to enter 2022 half off, and you get 50% off, but only for new subscribers. And also, I'd like to make that same disclosure that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, but have been published. We just celebrated our 45th year, July 21st, which was right on the full moon. And by coincidence or design, who knows? So 45 years of doing the financial newsletter, which started originally as the volume reversal survey and then became VR Trader when the internet hit back in the mid-1990s.
The full moon was blood red here from forest fire smoke. The smoke wasn't where I am in Vancouver, but obviously in the upper atmosphere somewhere.
Well, you know, it's one of those change point dates that I look for, you know, on the calendar, because nobody else really wants to pay attention to it or thinks that it might be hocus pocus. But as it turns out, that July 21st moon was coincident with a market change of direction. And as you see, we've been coming down here a little bit. Just a lot of manipulation and exaggeration going on in the markets right now. A lot of bulls looking for the summer rally. I really wasn't looking for much of it. We'll see if it starts again, but everybody's holding their breath. We've got the Federal Reserve meeting coming up on the 30th, 31st, and you got the Jackson Hole meeting, coming up. I think that's August 22nd, 24th, and all the rumor is that they're going to drop the interest rate in September. Who knows if that's going to happen or not. Market's already discounted it. Look how high the market is. Dow already went to new record highs. You know, what are they looking for? Usually when the Fed lowers rates, there's usually something wrong going on and they have to adjust. So they move rates lower and it tends to be actually a reflection of negatives, not positives. So it's going to be interesting how it plays out this time. But it's a non-event because, you know, look at the markets. You know, they've been manipulated higher. Half a dozen of favorite stocks have distorted the averages, and there was even a little rally in the bond market here, and you know, they got the market up anyway. So, you know, the whole scenario of higher rates and then down ticking the rates, it's just, you know, irrelevant to what's really happened in the financial markets. But there are other things going on, and beginning political commentary here, which I'm going to avoid because I'm quite prejudiced, so we're going to avoid all that. But you know, you tend to get, you know, sell off in the fall, and whether it starts in August or it stretches into October, it all depends on the year and the timing. So too much, you know, overexcitement here in the market. So I'm little, you know, have been a little defensive here, so we'll see. And we also have interesting things going on, like aerospace stocks taking off. Does that mean we're going to have more of a war situation unfolding, you know, out of the blue? Big name aerospace stocks took off. We jumped into one of the ETFs. So that's going on in the background. And Despite that, gold's been coming down, which I've been talking about here, that there was risk. We sold all our gold-related positions, thinking that there was risk that gold could drop $300 or $400 an ounce, possibly, in a correction, which it's done many times, and still be within a bull market. And just, you know, a lot of interesting things going on. You got Ethereum being approved for an ETF in the crypto space, though Bitcoin itself is not doing very much right here. You know, I guess everybody's, you know, we got the Summer Olympics also coming up the end of this month, just in a couple of days, July 26th, August 11th in Paris, I believe. So a lot of things for people to watch and, you know, divest their attentions if they wish to not concentrate so much on markets. But everybody will be looking for that Fed meeting on the 31st and the Jackson Hole meeting. And it's just a lot of talk and nonsense as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, just got to watch the tape and see where there's, you know, where there's some action right now.
It's interesting you mentioned the Olympics. Yeah, competitions have already started. Canada's women beat the New Zealand women 2-1 in soccer. And don't forget, the games in Rome were started to take people's minds off the fact that a bunch of them were starving. The emperor didn't have enough food for people, so go watch people fight to the death.
Is that where it all started?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you're a great historian.
Take people's minds off reality.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there's enough extremists out there and, you know, violent protesters on the streets, you know. They take charge. They may put the lions back in again in the future. You never know. We may degenerate back to that level of, you know, primitivism. But little time will tell. But interesting times now. Some are certainly not doldrums. A lot of volatility, you know. And we're just dealing with it day to day here as we normally do. But I think more of a defensive posture is warranted.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, before we went to break, you said a defensive posture is warranted. What does that mean?
Sitting in T-bills, for example, you know, 4.5-5% during these choppy periods in the summer and into the fall. You know, if you're trading your day-to-day, the way we look at stuff is sort of irrelevant. But, you know, I think more, my opinion is if 3/4 is in, you know, treasuries or something defensive, that makes a lot of sense at this time. I don't expect much from a Fed announcement now, and if there is a knee-jerk rally, hopefully we can catch it from some lower point here in the market. And I'm sort of salivating about the gold. If it can get down as low as I would hope it would go, which could be back to 2000 or something, or even lower, I'd probably jump on that if that's going to happen. We're sort of watching that, and so biding our time here. The cannabis stocks are still of some interest to us. There was a poll taken by the DEA that's supposed to have been completed here in July. And from what I'm hearing through the grapevine, there were a lot of positive results about, changing the regulation on rescheduling of the marijuana from 3 to 1, and whether that'll be implemented or whether it's politically in tune now with what's going on here in the U.S. It was for a while, but, some of the cannabis stocks have pulled back here and are sitting in a zone where they may be big buys here if some announcement does come out. So we're watching those. Of course, we're keeping positions in them because they're so cheap. But Canopy Growth, for example, which is weed in the Canadian market, that's a ticker symbol, and that's really cheap. So, you know, watching those, they're so cheap, you know, that the risk is not so great there. But there are some potential news pending there, and I don't think there's anything going to change on the Banking Act issue, which is still pending as well, but everybody's sort of holding their breath on the DEA rescheduling. So we're watching that market, and, there's some infrastructure stocks suddenly took off, like Vulcan Materials and Marietta Materials. These are very expensive stocks, but out of the blue, So something must be going on the construction or the infrastructure side, whether it's government spending or something else that I'm not aware of. But they exploded to the upside along with the aerospace stocks. So, you know, there's always, what's that expression? You know, it's not mine. You know, there's a bull market somewhere. We just try to find it. So there's always something moving somewhere that you can trade. Even Chubb, ticker symbol CB, where we learned just a few weeks ago that Warren Buffett was taking a huge position in Chubb, which makes sense since he owns Geico. But the stock ran up big and he's accumulating Chubb. There's always been a story that Chubb was one of the better home insurer companies out there. So that was up today. And so this interest in Chubb. So like I say, there's always something, you know, going on out there, and I haven't given up on Occidental Petroleum, which Warren Buffett owns, I think, 25% of, so something's going on there. And then also U.S. Steel, starting to uptick here again. We've been sort of holding that for a while. As you know, the deal fell through Cleveland Cliffs, CLF, weeks and weeks of back, and then Nippon Steel came in, and then it got poo-pooed by the U.S. government. But I just read the last couple of days that former Secretary Pompeo was the Foreign Secretary in the U.S., Defense Secretary. I'm not sure if it was the Secretary of State for a while. I'm not sure of the exact position, but he apparently was hired, which is sort of funny, by Nippon Steel to try to consummate the acquisition of U.S. Steel, which the Biden administration and others said it's just not going to happen because of control of a U.S. Steel company. But the fact that he was hired and the stocks rallied here a couple of days, I just kept a position in it. I just figured when that deal fell through, someone else was going to come in, whether it was not Nippon or somebody else. So like I said, I'm just throwing stuff out, you know, things that we're watching or trading that, regardless of my opinion of the market, there's always some action somewhere. So that's where we're at right now.
What's happening on the crypto front? You said Ethereum getting an ETF. Did it help Bitcoin much when they got one?
It sure did. It hasn't helped Ethereum. I had read that it was supposed to be, or had just been approved or about to be approved, but Ethereum had already made a big move and is not really going very far at the moment. Bitcoin explosive move, you know, once the ETF got approved. And as you can thank Larry Fink for that over at BlackRock. He was pushing for an ETF for the longest time, and the second it got approved with the SEC, I think it was trading around $30, went to about $55 or $60 really fast, and now it's pulled back. But when a player of this size, Jim, gets involved, I mean, it's a given. I mean, you know, they're BlackRock's largest money management firm in the world, and they were behind the implementation or the, application for the, I think it's ITI, I think, is a symbol for the one they wanted, but GPTC is the big favorite one. But anyway, there's just no question that there's talk now, I'm sure you've read it, about, you know, Bitcoin and gold should be involved in the valuation of currencies or the backing of currencies, if not the U.S., others. And whether you believe in it or not, there's just enough financial power or interest behind it that at least for now it's here to stay. I mean, I guess anything could change, but not when a big firm like that gets involved. So Bitcoin is, you know, trading, you know, in the high 50s, low 60s range, and I'm sure it'll be 100,000 or higher, whether it's 3 months from now or a year from now. It's just too many players in that market and too many interest in alternate financing. I mean, you know, it's just something that is a given around the world. So we'll always keep a little position in that. And there are other cryptos you can look at too. We have a blockchain letter, so we cover, you know, a few of the names there. And the truth is they're all very tradable. I mean, if you're trading oriented, I mean, these things are just monsters. I mean, Bitcoin, for example, just recently dropped 20%. and, you know, bounce back up 10%. And this was all within maybe 5 days or 10 days. So, you know, for those who are looking for action in the market, you know, definitely pay attention to the charts there and maybe some of our comments here. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, there's, you know, we're in the, are we in the dog days of summer or not? I mean, it every day with so many things happening, you know, cross currents up and down, and some of the sectors and names I just mentioned, you know, you can't go to sleep at the wheel. You know, sometimes I feel take a day off or don't watch the markets, and sure enough, there's something else going on. So that's what's so exciting about the business. You know, it's like we say, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're at a horse race, the gates open, the horses jump out of the gate and watch which horses are moving.
Mark, anything going on the geocosmic front?
Well, if I could read it to you, I don't know if I can understand it all with all the technicalities, but apparently CME struck the Earth today, the 25th, and they called it a halo CME launched toward the Earth by a so-called dark plasma eruption on the sun. So there's apparently a major far side solar flare. They say it's the biggest flare of the solar cycle. It just exploded on the far side of the sun. And if it had exploded on this side, it could have been really serious for the planet Earth. So they're monitoring this thing. We keep talking about this and people think we're off, we're deaf or something, talking about crazy stuff. But no, this is, we saw the impact of solar flares just a few weeks ago and its impact on some of Elon Musk's SpaceLink, Starlink satellites and so forth. I mean, there's stuff going on the sun. There's been more activity. Can't do anything about it. We're just monitoring and watching it. But if they warn, you know, there's some big solar sunspots that are on the sun. And, you know, I'm an amateur astronomer here, but apparently these giant sunspots are rotating around the sun. And when they face toward the Earth or Mars or any of the planets, then that sends negative energy in that direction. And one could possibly at some point be as powerful as the Carrington event that I mentioned probably 100 times on this broadcast from the mid 19th century. So it's interesting to watch. But it did impact the ones that recently did impact the Earth, and a lot of shortwave radios have gone out. There's not much press or talk about it. I don't think they want to panic people about a solar flare about to hit the Earth. And most of the time, as you know, you just see the beautiful auroras in the sky and nothing more than that. But one of them could mess things up for everybody. So it's good to stay attuned. And outside of that, you know, we had the full moon I mentioned on July 21st, which coincided with the market peaking out here, and we have a new moon coming up on August 4th. So we got to watch for that to see what kind of change in direction occurs around that time. And invariably, there is something. And then the next big time frame is September 22nd, which is the autumnal equinox. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that around the solstices and equinoxes, markets often, not all markets, but some markets change direction. And it's funny because September 22nd is usually around the time markets are weak anyway, which is what just, I guess, normal market forecasters would talk about just based on normal market activity. But there is that next time frame, too. So we're watching those dates. And I'm sure everybody else is watching the Federal Reserve and their dates. So we've got plenty of dates out there. A lot to watch.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.